Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum. Here we do it bigger, we do it better, we do it longer, and out of necessity, we'll do it louder than anyone out here. So relax. Here's your host, Hushmo Black.
Sound like y'all glad to see the Hushmo back this evening. Welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum, y'all. We about 15 minutes late getting out here tonight, yeah. We ran into some technical difficulties. I'm going to blame it on that. But it's so good to be back out here on Blog Talk Radio with you all. Last week, we completely got tied up in the traffic jam or something and couldn't get to the studio there and only did about 10 minutes of the show and promised to redo that show this past Wednesday, but was unable to do that. And then this evening we come in here and we're about 15 minutes late getting the show started this evening, y'all. Yeah? So we've been having some challenges here the last couple of weeks, but it's all behind us now, yeah. We back. So welcome to the Hushmo Black Forum, you know, where our motto is to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer, and out of necessity sometimes we'll do it louder out here. We try not to do that. We like to try to keep everything on an even keel, but... Wow, these are trying times, y'all, as the song says. Hey, it's April 6th, y'all. April 6th. Wow, first weekend in April, y'all. April Fool's Day was this past Monday here. We had got a couple of friends that was born on April Fool's Day. That was always a big day for me, growing up, you know, just celebrating some of the friends that was born and just the jokes that were played on April Fool's Day. So it's April, y'all. Got a daughter whose birthday is in April. She's a Taurus. That's the latter part of April. Taurus come in. It's around the 18th or something like that, into May. But yeah. It's the spring. Spring is sprung, y'all. Although you never know it. Want to shout out to family members up in Ohio. Some of them under the weather. And we're going to be making a trip to OH10 here pretty soon, I got a feeling. We got a lot of family members up that way and a lot of fans, a lot of friends up around that way. So we got several reasons to go that way. And I'm pretty sure we will pretty soon be up in the OH10. Just want to shout out to those folks up there and wish them all well. Godspeed. Hey, y'all. Got a great show for you this evening. What are we talking about here, y'all? Yeah, anybody know? Hey, y'all. We just thankful to be out here. We talk. We were lucky. Hey, y'all. Lucky just to be here, somebody said. Hey, no doubt. We got a great show here. We all over the place tonight, as we always are, talking about legalizing marijuana here in Georgia, here in the state of Georgia. We're going to start a petition here to suggest, to demand that the state of Georgia legalize marijuana for recreational use, just like the state of Washington and Colorado, based on their models here in Georgia. We'll do several things for the state of Georgia. First of all, we'll get probably about 50% of the young kids that are in the jails living on at the expense of the taxpayers out of jail, and back into society where they so belong. One of the first benefits of it with the decrease in the expense to the taxpayers of Georgia. So we're going to start a drive for that. That came to the Hushmo Black Forum from the street, and we're going to come down on their side and advocate with them on that objective here over the next until we get it done. And that's one of the things we're going to be chatting about this evening here. Last week we left off talking about our 12 disciples here, and we were supposed to bring Brother Booker T. Washington. He was going to be the last, the 12 disciples, y'all know. Hey, what time is it here before we get off on the table? It's about 20 minutes after 7, y'all. We really are running behind, and now we got to try to catch up some kind of way. But we're going to be gearing this thing up for the summer. So we're going to be doing a couple of shows a week, maybe, sometimes during the summer. So we're going to make up. I know coming up in May, Memorial Day weekend, we always out of town down in Pine Mountain for that weekend. And we're going to take our show down there that Saturday. So we'll be on the road. And like I said, some of those weekends, we're going to be... we're going to be on the road, and we got some noise in the background, and we just got rid of it. Hopefully, it's going to improve the reception here. Had a blasting a baseball game on here. We, hey, you know, we do it like that, y'all. Like on the we cover everything right now this weekend here in ATL, y'all. Want to welcome all of the NCAA basketball Final Four teams here. Michigan, Syracuse, Wichita State, and who's that other team in there, y'all? Louisville. Yeah, Louisville. Those four teams, I want to congratulate them for their outstanding seasons to make it all the way to the Final Four. Ain't no joke, y'all. And they all here in the ATL this weekend. So we got a ton of things going on here in the city. The Braves are on, the Hawks are in town, 100,000 college kids are in town. So the city is buzzing here, y'all, this evening. Hey, we're going to be right here. we going to get out of that stuff, y'all. Oh, no. Everybody's going to have a good time. We pray. We hope. just want to welcome everybody to the ATL. Hey, y'all, we're going to take a quick pause right here, y'all. We're going to be back after a short pause here, y'all. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace. Thank you.
Hey, y'all.
Just trying to keep up with all the excitement in the city this weekend. Yeah. Wow, we got a schedule full of drama here going on with the Final Four. We taking Syracuse, y'all. We're going to tell you right now. We taking Syracuse in this thing. Oh, no doubt. We taking Syracuse. Just because of the defense they play, I suppose. I mean, no other reason, but, you know, we haven't been really paying attention to what's going on in college basketball this year for the first time in I don't know how many years. We didn't fill out one of those little papers. You know, the Final Four that you pick and get in a pool and, yeah, I don't know, anybody will win that thing, yes. But this is the first year. We just don't keep up with college basketball anymore like we used to love basketball. Used to love college basketball. But, so much fun. The boy with the broken leg, he's from around here. In Atlanta, ATL. I went to high school around anyway. They better be careful. I'm watching the Braves, y'all. Oh yeah, I'm a big Braves fan. We got a juggernaut. No, y'all. We should have anyway. We're gonna see how they play. Hey, we gotta see how they play now. We should have a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. We gotta see how they play on the field, but just on paper, we gonna win. Braves gonna win 100 games, y'all. Put your money on it. Tell it. Hey, don't. Hey, ain't no bookie, y'all. Don't. Yeah, y'all been out. Don't listen to the Hushmo. We just boom. We just looking. We just boy, you better get back. Boom, out of there. Out of there. That boy, I hit another home run, y'all. We gonna take another quick pause right here, y'all. We'll be right back. Y'all hang in there.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace.
Hustle Black Forum, y'all. We are a couple of subject matters here tonight. Like we started out saying that we were going to chime in on a request from the streets, our community here, suggesting that we need to get together and start a petition to bring attention to the need for the state of Georgia to legalize marijuana, much like the states of Washington and Colorado has already done, plus a couple more states. And the general mood of the country is moving that way. And we believe wholeheartedly out here on the High Smoke Black Forum that it would be of tremendous benefit, not only, well, especially to our community, our young men, African-American men, who seem to dominate the population of that federal prison industrial complex that we have going on here in the country. But we believe by legalizing marijuana for recreational use would free up about at least 50% of the expense of the taxpayers' burden in housing the people there. So yeah, we believe wholeheartedly that we should legalize it, because what it's doing to our young people is unconscionable, and there's no greater a need in my mind for us to get a grip on is the incarceration of our young people, our young African-American males there, who's going seemingly from high school to the prison, straight to just a horrible circumstance that we have going on here in the country that we think just one simple measure would do tremendous good, both for our community in the state and the taxpayers of the state, who spending an enormous amount of money housing innocent, otherwise innocent young males who who's not harming anyone out here other than being caught up in this so-called war on drugs that's been devastating our community for too long. Obviously, we've got a work to do in that area, yeah. But first, we got to make the laws of the state such that they don't prey on our young folks. Yeah, we don't want the laws of the state preying on. Hey, it's no better than Jim Crow. If you know, look at the prison system, you got 70% of that population made up by Americans of African descent, young folks, and 75% of that is dealing with some street drug. Something's wrong. Yeah. Obviously, it goes deeper. It goes deeper than that. It all has to do with economics. Yeah, we can tie it back to the fact that Americans of African descent was deprived of equality in the workplace because of racism. for some damn near 100 years after the Civil War, yeah. Hey, it ain't no joke. I mean, it's just a fact. So now, here 2013, through all kinds of trials and tribulations, I guess you would say, we are where we are. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that America's Baptist that was injured by the laws of this country and was never financially reparated properly for those injuries. It's just a fact. There's no way to get around it, no way to sugarcoat it, no way to do any of that stuff. Just look at history. Hey, if I can research history and come up with paint a clear picture about it, surely I'm not the only one. So, yeah, we're going to be part of an effort to legalize marijuana for recreational use, yeah. Here in Georgia. Yeah. So that's one of the things. because of how serious the matter is, to me, out here on the Hushmore Black Forum, we're gonna play again a speech from, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, 2008. Was it 5 years ago? One of the National Action Network conventions. Reverend Errol Sharpton had a convention here back in 2008 before Barack Obama became president. Anyway, one of the speakers got up and started talking about, did a sermon on Amos, y'all, and delved into this prison industrial complex that is devastating so many of our young folks. And I want y'all to hear that tonight again. I played it out here on the Hushmore Black Forum almost before. It's about 30 minutes. So it's a good sermon on it. I call it a sermon, but he said it was just a speech at this convention in the middle of the day. But he talks about Amos, y'all. We want you to take a look at it or listen to it, and then we're going to come back and talk some more about the legalization of marijuana, and then we're going to touch on homosexuality. Yeah, somebody on TMZ, y'all, said something about our community. This is a white guy talking about, he's got his own opinion about how the black community should support Magic Johnson in his effort to support his gay son. And how phobic we are in our community when it comes to how homophobic we are in the black community when it comes to homosexuality. So we're going to touch on that after I let you listen to the speaker. By the way, is Reverend Freddie Haynes. Good old Baptist preacher out of Dallas, Texas. And this is back in 2008, y'all, talking about Amos. I want y'all to listen to this. It's, it moved me when I first heard it that day. And when we come back, y'all, we're going to break it down some more for you. But just listen up here. It'll take a little while. You might want to download it and check it out at your leisure. But y'all hang in there. We'll be right back when you hear this on the other end here.
The preacher the only one to prosper. But this brother is about don't you get put out of here now. You have done good. You have done good now. Yeah. voices and sincere personalities in the pulpit today. Reverend Freddie Haynes is here. Let us support.
Billy Go, if you have yet to hear him preach, so make sure that you don't chapter 5, verse 24 says, "But let justice roll down as waters, and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream." I want to lift up that passage and simply talk about makes me want to holler, makes me want to holler. That's what I want to talk about for the next few moments. I think it was one writer who dared to declare that if the other planets are inhabited, then the earth must be their insane asylum. Why? Because this is a crazy world. It's a crazy world with crazy people who will do crazy things and make you out to be the crazy one. It's a crazy world. As a matter of fact, the craziness of this world is reflected in too many instances in the injustice, especially in what Maya Angelou calls these yet-to-be United States of America. It's so crazy that in this nation, it is said that 70% of all persons who are incarcerated are behind prison bars because of petty drug-related offenses, and yet instead of increasing funding for treatment, we instead continue to build more prisons. That is downright crazy. It's crazy that we have a president who is not elected but selected. As a matter of fact, whenever the selected president walks in, we must all rise and sing hail to the thief. But this president who was selected in the year 2000, sadly, sinfully, and shamefully, has never served a moment of time in the military, and yet he has no problem whatsoever sending our children into a war that was misbegotten and has been mismanaged. Trillions of dollars are going to be spent on a war that we never should have gotten in the first place. I declare it's a crazy war that has been mismanaged by a crazy president. This is a crazy world. If indeed the other planets are inhabited, I'm sure that this must be the insane asylum. There are crazy things that continue to go on, especially, my brothers and sisters, in our treatment, watch this, of injustice. I believe it was Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five who declared how crazy this thing was back in the day. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. And then Grandmaster said, "Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my..." Y'all ain't been in church, are you? Grandmaster said, "The world is so crazy, it's pushing us close to the edge, causing us to, in a real sense, lose our minds also. This is a crazy world." Now, what can we do about the craziness in this world? Glad you asked. In this nation, there is an insane asylum. In this particular insane asylum, they allow freedom for those who have been incarcerated because of their insanity based on their response to a test that takes place in the kitchen. Check this. In the kitchen, they turn on the faucet, they stop up the sink, and allow the sink to run over with water. The water is now flooding the kitchen. Once the water floods the kitchen, they bring in the candidate for freedom and tell the candidate for freedom, "Here is a mop. It is your responsibility to clean up." Watch this, this kitchen. Now, if they indeed are candidates for freedom and receive their freedom, they recognize And so when brothers, half of whom don't graduate from high school, then 79% of them find themselves in prison, as opposed to 29% of high school dropouts of whites and 19% of Latino male dropouts. Watch this. And then one half of our African American males without a high school diploma find themselves, don't miss this, unemployed in their 20s. And so in a real sense, if all we are doing is mopping up the mess and going to prison with our prison ministries and singing and preaching, but we don't deal on the front end with the faucet of injustice that continues to have our Michael Bales and Gina brothers locked up unjustly, then in a real sense, we are crazy as the world in which we find ourselves. We've got to recognize that real freedom comes in turning off the faucet and dealing with injustice. Let me see if I can help y'all with this thing, because in our text, by way of concept, y'all are familiar with the fact that Amos, that prophet from the southern kingdom in Judah, during the 8th century, appears on the stage of Scripture. And notice, if you will, it's an interesting time in that the haves and the have-nots have their gap even ever widening. On top of that, understand that there were those in positions of power who were basing their power on greed. They were using their power to exploit the needy while enriching the greedy. I guess Dr. William Augustus Jones would put it like this, that pleasure was autocratic, only pain was democratic. It was a terrible time. The poor were getting poorer. The rich were getting richer at the expense of the poor. And the book lets us know that out onto the stage of Scripture bounces this Old Testament prophet, this minor prophet with a major message. His name was Amos, out of Tekoa. And the book says he begins his ministry by basically standing on the stage there in Scripture without an invitation. He's not been invited to preach in service that day, but Amaziah, who has been scheduled to preach, hadn't heard from God. And Amos lets him know, since you ain't heard from God, God ain't speaking through you, I'm on assignment today. And he stands up and declares, check them out in the opening passages of the book that bears his name. And in a real sense, don't miss this, he's speaking judgment on the nations around them. The people are feeling that thing, because as long as you are pronouncing judgment on other folks' sins and not dealing with my sins, you can get an amen. But then suddenly Amos begins to shift that thing, and the book says upon shifting, he begins to deal with the sins of the nation Israel. I love it, because he's from Judah, but he's preaching in the northern kingdom in Israel, because he recognizes that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, said Dr. King. But y'all don't miss this. I love it, because Amos speaks truth to power, and once he speaks truth to power, he now comes to that fabulous fifth chapter, and we remember the words of this fifth chapter, but don't forget the context, because he speaks as a mouthpiece for our Maker, and God says, I am sick of your festivals, I can't stand your music, and don't bring me another offering, but let justice roll down as waters, and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. I'm loving this, because Amos is declaring that justice is what God is calling for in this crazy world. God says, get to the root cause. The root cause is injustice. And don't spend so much time engaging in charity, because if you fight for justice, then guess what? You'll minimize the need for charity. I guess y'all didn't like that. But in a real sense, when we fight for justice, we'll minimize the need for benevolence. That's what Amos is all about. So y'all give me just a few moments to give you three things. Raise up out of here, and we'll hear my man Aubrey. Check this. Number one, the text says, it makes me want to holler. Please don't miss this. When you recognize, and I love this part right here, in this life, where you come from does not have any bearing on where you can go. Let me do it like this. Never allow what's behind you to define and confine where God can take you. Y'all still not shouting. Understand, the book says this is Amos from Tekoa. I thing too fast. But that's a conjunction. I got to be real with you. I didn't always know what a conjunction was, but one Saturday back in the day, I'm watching cartoons. A song came on. Song said conjunction, junction. Y'all saw the same one, okay? The function of a conjunction is to connect what's before with what's after. Meaning you cannot, please don't miss this, read a conjunction. You cannot see a conjunction and ignore what's before the conjunction and what's after the conjunction. And so when you read, but let justice roll down, you've got to connect what's before with what's after. What's before is verse 21 and 22 and 23. When God says, I hate your music, don't sing to me anymore, don't even bring me a feast offering, don't celebrate your feast, please don't miss this. God is saying, your praise music is not making me feel good, your offerings don't mean a thing to me, and all of your commemorative anniversaries, I'm not feeling those either. Let me give you a Freddie Haynes remix. God says your praise team is singing real good, but I ain't hearing what they're singing because they've disconnected their praise from protest. I don't want to even check out your anniversaries because your anniversaries have nothing to do with advocacy. As a matter of fact, I don't want to hear nothing about your offerings because your offerings don't deal with ontological justice. I want you to let justice roll down as waters and righteousness as it ever was. Here it is. Don't get it twisted. Look at the good right here. Your horizontal consequences ought to come from your vertical connection. God says, I'm not impressed with all of your praise, your offering, and your commemorations if they don't connect to justice for all. You didn't get that, did you? I got a handout here because do you know the delusional DA in Gina, Louisiana had the unmitigated, arrogant audacity to declare the only reason that violence did not break out when thousands of us, and you know they can't count us. As a matter of fact, I've discovered they must count us like they counted in Scripture, 5,000 men, not including women and children. So evidently they missed a whole lot of us in their count, but we went down to Gina and this delusional DA had the arrogant audacity to say the only reason that violence did not break out was because Jesus intervened. I wish I could talk to that delusional DA with his racist rhetoric and twisted toxic thinking, because the sad thing is he didn't recognize we brought Jesus with us. As a matter of fact, on a mission from Jesus, because I don't know about you, but the Jesus I serve, put it this way, I've been anointed to preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, and heal those who are heartbroken. Y'all missed that. Jesus says, I am anointed. Can I stop right there? Because you can't turn on television without hearing about the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing will give you your car. Listen, the Jesus I read about was anointed and never drove a car. The Jesus I read about said foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Anointing ain't got nothing to do with personal enrichment. It has everything to do with lifting the last, the least, and the most. Preach where it ain't already there. And so that DA, and see the danger of what that DA said is that his twisted, toxic thinking, that racist rhetoric is coming from someone in a position, watch this, to in a real sense enact injustice. If someone is thinking like that and speaking like that, then they impact public policy. And they, in a real sense, are persons who claim to know Jesus. What this text says, evidently he's clueless about my Jesus, because Jesus connects justice horizontally with our relationship with God vertically. Right. Oh, I got it like this. God says, when I hook you up vertically, it ought to have some consequences horizontally.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm using hip-hop lingo. Hook up. You don't know what that is. Let me help you. Hook up ain't fishing. Hook up is when something happens for you that you know you didn't do yourself, and somebody says, how'd you get that done? If you got sense, you're going to say, I got the hook up. Holler if you hear me. And in time, ain't feeling your praise song. I ain't feeling none of that because you disconnected it with justice. Liberation for the poor. One of my favorite authors is Tony Campolo. Campolo testifies. He had to speak in Honolulu, Hawaii. Campolo is a professor at Eastern University, I think, in Philly. He had to speak in Honolulu. Took a flight all the way from Philly on the East Coast to Honolulu out of the Pacific Ocean. Once he gets there, Campolo testified. His body clock is off. That's a long flight, time difference and all of that stuff. He gets there and he can't sleep. It's 3 a.m. He decides to go get some coffee. Goes, get some coffee at this dive there in Honolulu. And check this, he goes into this dive, and once he goes into this dive, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, coffee looks like it comes from a dive, and all of a sudden he says some sisters who work that late shift, they came through the door of this dive at 3 a.m. in the morning. Y'all missed that. Some sisters who work this shift, 3 o'clock in the morning, came dressed in their 3 a.m. clothes. They've been working, and y'all catch that right next week. I don't get it in church, but they came in 3 o'clock in the morning, and when they came in at 3 a.m., according to Campolo, one of them leading the pack said, y'all know what? It's my birthday tomorrow. I forgot about that. Her friend then shouts back at her, what you want to do? Throw you some kind of party? You just a whore. And once she said that, she said, I'm just trying to let y'all know it's my birthday. Turned around and exited. Tony Campolo saw that as an opportunity and said to the man who was proprietor of this establishment, does that crew come in here every night at this time? Yeah, they work this shift. They're here every night at this time. He said, well, so-and-so is going to be here tomorrow, right? Yeah, it's her birthday. She just said that. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw a party for her at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so everybody who was still in there said, that's a good idea, cooling the gang. And they began to organize a party. Some got the streamers. Others got the birthday cake. Others got the presents. Next day, fast forward, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? The women of the evening working their shift, they make their way in, led by the birthday girl. And when she walks in, the crowd in there, led by Campolo, hollers out, surprise, happy birthday. Y'all, she is tore up from the flow up. This has never happened to her before. She begins to cry and says, for me, yes, for you, Campolo shouts back. And then she says, nobody has ever done anything this nice for me. I never knew my father. My mother rejected me. No one has ever reached out to me like this. Would you mind if I take this birthday cake back to my room? I want to enjoy it for just a little while longer. Well, what about your presents and your party? I'll be back, but let me enjoy this for just a moment. And y'all, she immediately makes a U-turn, heads out, and by now the crowd is just stunned. What do we do now? Campolo says, y'all, it's a party. Let's go ahead and enjoy the party. And then he said, before we eat, though, we've got to say grace. Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. Christ's sake, amen. Check this. The proprietor then looked at him and said, hold on, you are a Christian? He said, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, what kind of church do you go to? That's the kind of church I want to go to. He said, I go to the kind of church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3 o'clock in the morning. God, give us the kind of faith and religion that is not so uppity and stuck up and snobbish that we don't reach down to those who are least and last and lost. I got one more and I'm out of here. Number 3, and I'm done. Finally, the text lets us know, watch God, because God has an awesome way of giving you a vision of just possibility in the face of the darkness of injustice. Amos said, let justice flow down like waters, righteousness as an ever-flowing stream. Y'all missing this? This is metaphorical language. He is, in a real sense, using metaphors to convey a message. He's using picturesque phraseology in order for them to see what he's saying. You didn't shout. Amos is using justice as he's using the mighty waters as a metaphor for justice and an ever-flowing stream as an analogy for righteousness. Amos says, I want you to envision just possibilities in the darkness of the injustice you find yourself being confronted by. And y'all, it dawned on me, is that not what Dr. King was all about as we convene in the town of his birth? Martin Luther King Jr. in this nation was a visionary who envisioned justice in the face of the American nightmare. Y'all missing this. How could someone in the face of Bull Connor's dogs and fire hoses still believe in a dream of liberty and justice for all? How could someone be a drum major for justice in the face of injustice? Y'all not getting this, are you? I know why you're not getting this, because we're stuck on King as a dreamer. And y'all, I'm with Al Sharpton. We almost have missed out on what the man was really about, because we have locked him into 1963. At the end of his life, he was saying, no longer do I have a dream, but I see an American nightmare. But then in his one of his last sermons, he declares, if anybody should happen to be around when I meet my day, don't give me a long funeral. You get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Tell them not to mention where I went to school or got 300 or 400 other awards. But if they want to say something about me, tell them that I was a drum major for justice, a drum major for peace, and a drum major for righteousness. Do you see the metaphor there? A drum major for justice in a country of injustice makes me want to holler. Grandmaster Flash, but you really can't have hip-hop in its conscious state unless it recognizes its revolutionary roots. The revolutionary roots go back to the Gil Scott Harris, but also Marvin, my matchless Marvin Gaye, because Marvin looked at the scene in which he found himself, and Marvin said, I can sing, less going on, but now I've got to deal with the reality of racism in this country. And Marvin said, it makes me want to holler and throw up both my hands. And y'all, I'm done now, but that basically is what God is saying to us today, and that is we must envision justice. And as we envision justice in the face of injustice, we'll discover that we ain't in this thing by ourselves. We have a God of justice who always shows up on the side of those who've been victimized by injustice. And God will do some great things. I'm done. Let me give you this and sit down and so we can hear over it. Y'all, I was tripping because the other day I read back in the day of sharecropping, that over in the state of Florida there was a particular black family that somehow was able, in spite of the aftermath of the post-Reconstruction backlash, to get their own property, grow that property. They are doing the doggone thing. They are blowing up. And y'all, they're doing so well that it has eventuated in hatred and hateration on the part of their white neighbors, who can't handle these Negroes who have the nerve to have their own property, have their own stuff, and don't need us. We can't handle that. And so you know what happened, don't you? They did everything they could to intimidate this family, but the family refused to be intimidated. As a matter of fact, they even had the nerve to use the property owned by this African-American family as a toilet, watch this, for their horses they were raising. So every single day, the horses would come over, and the horses would deposit their waste on the property of this black family. How unjust and low down. But there's a God of justice. Mama said, God don't like ugly and ain't too keen on pretty. And so after a while, the man whose horses were using the brother's property as a toilet, he was stricken with a heart attack and died. God don't play. Brother dies. His wife now has to make funeral arrangements, and the funeral director comes and says, I know you want flowers, and let me tell you where you get the best flowers. If you ain't got no problem getting flowers from black people, there is one florist in town, and they have the best flowers, the prettiest flowers. I don't know how they do it, but they got the prettiest flowers everywhere. And y'all know what happened. The woman, the widow of the racist, goes to the florist.
That's Reverend Freddie Haynes, y'all. That's Reverend Freddie Haynes talking about justice.
That piece there, Reverend Freddie Haynes, y'all, out of Dallas, Texas, talking about at that time the Gina Six, as they were known as, some young boys down in Louisiana who had got locked up for high school students who had got locked up for some altercations they had got into in high school involving some white students there. And six of them just got thrown in jail there, and really it took the efforts of a lot of people, Al Sharpton's, Reverend Al Sharpton's, and the National Action Network, along with the NAACP, to bring pressure to the establishment down there that was who had unjustly incarcerated those young men, the Gina Six. But he was talking about the prison industrial complex and how it had became such a just a awful institution taking our young folks and destroying their lives by the thousands, and how we need to at all costs confront the evils that that cause this a cycle of injustice here. And at that time, they decided at that meeting that you have to cut that stuff off at the faucet of injustice, and they planned a march around the Justice Department. That following, I guess it was a month, because I rode the bus up to Washington there, had a big rally around the Justice Department. This is before the 2008 election. Barack Obama hadn't won anything at that time. He was, you know, still a long shot to even win that thing. But then, sure enough, a little over a year later, I mean, he had won the election and got to be president. And so something was a powerful, powerful message that the preacher was talking about, that talking about Amos, this minor this minor prophet with this major message from out of nowhere that came on the scene there and condemned the actions of these great nations. And yeah, it's a powerful, it was a powerful message, and it relates to where we are here in the country today. Absolutely, the injustice of the penal system here in this country. It's where we are today, and we have to keep searching and striving for a way to bring that industrial complex down, yeah, by any means necessary. We have got to, by all means and every mean at our disposal, put a roadblock in that seemingly unexhaustible stream of our young folks leaving our community going directly into this this prison system here. Something is wrong. We suggest part of the solution, and not a small part of it, would be the legalization of marijuana as a recreational drug here in Georgia, much like they've done in several other states in the country. That would free no less than 50% of the people in prison today, our young folks, no doubt. I'm not just talking. I'm talking from, I had a heck of an experience here, y'all. Hey, the husband, I had some. Y'all say, what? Peanut Gallery said, what? Hey. That's where I had some heck of a experience here, y'all, in my life. Hey, you know, 70 years, you'd have some, you'll have some experiences too, I assure you. Just here recently, I had the pleasure of speaking at this middle school around my birthday here back in February. Just a wonderful time speaking to 7th and 8th graders, youngsters full of energy, full of hope, and bright, and just a great set of kids, our kids, Carfalong Middle School here in Atlanta, my neighborhood. My kids went there 30-something years ago. Oh, yeah. I went there and spoke about, you know, it was their career day, so they were talking about you know, the various avenues that they might get into as they grow older and get into their career paths and what they might want to do and just some of the things that that are available to them, you know, in later life. The 7th and 8th graders, you know, you're curious and just. Especially today, all of them on the computers and got the, you know, just the whole, this whole high-tech world is, you know, exposed them to a lot more than ever I had when I was that age. But, you know, I was just fascinated by how sharp and bright these kids were. This was like January the 30th, I believe. My birthday was coming up. My birthday is February the 4th. I'm an Aquarian, y'all. Y'all don't know. But I ran into a lot of the kids with Aquarians. Same birthday, February the 4th. Got into a conversation about that. Had a great time that day. Just, 15 to 20 different professional folks there of all different walks. Some lawyers, some artists, some, you know, authors, of which I am, and went to talk about some of the things they needed to do to prepare them for a career and journalism, if, you know, or and things of that nature, just, you know, as it pertains to what I do, what would they need to do to prepare themselves. So yeah, it was that type of back and forth with the kids, and just a great time for me. But then to go from that, and then a week later on my birthday, which was, this was like on a Wednesday, the following, I believe it was Monday, February the 4th, Monday, February the 5th, the day after my birthday, we planned, you know, decided to stop and celebrate my birthday with my good old golfing buddies. And wound up in an accident, a pile up, and wound up in the county jail. Yeah, the man said I was driving under the influence, locked me up. Now, I had stopped and had a couple of drinks celebrating my birthday with friends of mine, but not to the point where I thought I was intoxicated, but then. You know, one thing led to another, and I wound up in the county jail. Stayed in the jail for 24 hours, y'all. This was like a week after going to this middle school talking to these 7th and 8th graders about their future careers and stuff like that. And then a week later, wound up in the county jail. And first time I've ever been in jail, I'm 68 years old here. First time I've ever been in jail for 24 hours. I was in jail for, you know, I've never been in jail before. No more than a couple of hours for some stuff was read out, you know. But this was a whole cycle in that county jail down in Clayton County. I got a firsthand glimpse into that prison industrial complex in that 24-hour period idea. Software. Those kids that I had spoken to a week earlier saw exactly where upwards of 50% of them would surely wound up. Some 3-4 years down the road, maybe earlier, maybe next year, they were going to wound up in that industrial prison complex, and they were there. The young boys, that young kids that I encountered in the jail was those 7th and 8th graders 4 or 5 years prior. It devastated me. Huh? That devastated me to see firsthand where those kids, our kids, path in life led. I made a promise that I would do all I could and what I do, advocate best I can to keep the conversation in front of the public just about what that preacher was talking about, that prison industrial complex that's sapping our community alive and do everything that we can do out here on the Hushmore Black Forum for as long as we're out here to put a stop to it by any means necessary, put a stop to that horrific injustice that's occurring here under our very eyes. Yeah, we were just devastated by what we experienced that day. We it's about y'all. What time we getting? It's about 8:35 here, y'all. So yeah, we're gonna get with all the groups who are of like mind. Who's out there trying to bring some kind of closure to this spigot that seems to be running over destroying the lives of our young, our roots, if you will, are being cut out from under us in a real way. Our very roots, the roots of our community is being destroyed. We've got to put a stop to it. Hey, it's about 8:36, y'all. 23 more minutes here on the Hushmo Black Forum this evening. We're gonna take another quick pause for the calls here, y'all. Gonna come back and get into a little of the homophobia that this one gentleman accused the black community of harboring, I guess. So we're going to touch on it, dealing with Magic Johnson's son. So we're going to come back and take a look at it. Going to look quickly at Talib Kweli's comments concerning Rick Ross, saying that he's a misguided person by some of the garbage he had in his lyrics on his latest song. So, yeah, we're going to chime in on those couple of things and close it on out for this evening, y'all. But, yeah, we got some serious stuff going on, y'all. Hey, y'all, hanging there. We're going to be right back here. Take another quick pause for the calls here, y'all, on the Hushmo Black Forum, where our motto is to do it bigger, better, and longer. Out of necessity, sometime we'll do it loud out here. Lord knows. We don't like to do that. Try to keep everything on an even keel. But, hey, we're going to take a quick pause, y'all. We'll be right back. You hanging there. You got me, the Hushmo.
Advocating on your behalf. You're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us. Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here in cyberspace. Thank you.
Hey, it's about, wow. What is it, 8:43 here, y'all, in ATL. Beautiful day in town, too, by the way. Yeah, just a beautiful, gorgeous day here in Atlanta. This weather here. It's spring, but you wouldn't know it Thursday. you'd think it was early March, yeah? Thursday evening, raining, wet, cold. Next day. Wow, this boy came by a hit. We looking at the Braves having some bad luck. This boy starting to swing the bat, though. He came by a hit so far. I don't know what he's doing. He came by a hit. We're going to get him going, though, sooner or later here. Good swing there. Yeah, good swing. But, yeah, we try to keep up with the sports that's going on. Hey, y'all, we got so much stuff going on here in ATL. It's hard to, keep check on everything. But we got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, Mr. Talib Kweli. I believe he's a rapper with the Roots. I'm not sure. I seen the story come down on the internet. Him lashing out at Rick Ross. You know Rick Ross, the rapper. Some of the lyrics in his songs. This latest one particular song where he condoned a rape, raping our women. I mean, that's, and this young man thought that he was misguided in his, in the lyrics there in that song, and he should apologize for those lyrics. And, yeah, I come down with him. I agree. He should. We shouldn't sit around here and allow the rappers to and anyone else to continually degrade our sisters and daughters and mothers. It's crazy. It makes no sense to me, as an American of African descent, to be silent about it. You know, it's when I don't have a black form. We're gonna call it like it is, y'all. Hey, we're gonna tell it like it T.I. is, as they used to say. Hey, out here, something's wrong with some of the rappers' lyrics in the songs. We need to speak out about it wherever we are. I see you. And so I congratulate Mr. Talib Kweli on his standing up on behalf of our young females and ladies everywhere. Rape is not to be condoned. No kind of way. How can you... we need to let our young men, the rappers, know that, you need to perhaps if you portray in your music your environment, you need to start cleaning up that environment. That's all we're going to say about that tonight. We just want to come down on the side of this young man for standing up to some of the craziness that's going on within his industry. He's a rapper. I mean, it's going on within his industry. He saw fit to challenge his peers, and I applaud him for that. Yeah. Hey, one other thing here we want to touch on tonight, dealing with this article here. Well, it came out on the internet. One of the journalists or one of the people that, whatever you call it, host of TMZ. I don't watch TMZ. It reminds me of the paparazzi's a place for the paparazzi's to peddle their wares, and they put it into some kind of TV thing. Anyway, one of the gentlemen on there was suggesting that the black community should support Magic Johnson and his with his support of his gay son. That's how the article read. He felt as though Magic Johnson did all this for the black community, but the black community somehow, with their homophobic views on gays, was not supporting Magic Johnson to their fullest, and he had a problem with it. Now, I ain't got nothing against white people, right? but I have a problem with this particular gentleman. You go on the internet and pull it up. I don't forget you've got his name. Now, I ain't dealing with it. When he suggested somehow blacks, I mean me myself, I certainly appreciate Magic Johnson give back to our community, the African American community here in this country. I appreciate and always will appreciate Magic Johnson and his love for his give back, and I always will. Me personally, however, I believe there is a moral problem with homosexuality. I believe that I have a conviction that there's a moral problem with homosexuality. So while I cannot and will not compromise my moral conviction, I'll be the first to forgive anyone who have sinned. Hey, no doubt. And love everybody. I don't care if they're gay or straight. As my brother. Hey, no doubt. Love everybody. No gays. Have gay friends. And love them as my straight friends. Hey, no doubt. No, I see no difference in them whatsoever. I believe, now this is me, I believe moral sins and their adjudication is to be left up to God Almighty himself. I ain't dealing with it. I ain't dealing with it. My perspective on this allows me to hold on to my moral conviction. And I'll say right now that I believe that there's a moral sin here, y'all. That's my conviction with homosexuality, period. Yet, that is between my brother over here, and God Almighty, in terms of metering out judgment and punishment. Yeah, and that's that. You know, that's it. I'm gonna love Magic Johnson and his son just as much as I love this person over here, or anyone, or you. Absolutely. Hey, don't. We got to be careful. We can't get bogged down with this so-called argument about our homophobic view on gays. Hey, I don't have no homophobic view. I have a conviction that there's a moral problem with it. I still love everybody, period. You know, there's a distinction to be made, and I can do it. If I can do it, anyone else could and can if they only had the moral conviction to do it. Hey, that ain't my fault now if you don't. That ain't me. I ain't got nothing to do with your being able to hold sway with both of those perspectives. Hey, you and I suggest that a large portion of our America's Vaccines, that our community feel the way that I do toward homosexuality. Hey, we're spiritual folks here, y'all. Hey, no doubt. We are spiritual folks here now. We're not going to let go with our conviction. Yeah, sure. There's a lot of homosexuals in the black community here today, more so than I've seen in my entire life here in, over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, when I was a kid, it was, I'd say, rare, or at the very least, well hidden. I mean, it was, now I'm going as far as to say it was pretty rare in my when I was a kid. Preteen year, yeah, it was rare, but here now, that's a problem, I believe. But we just wanting to let anyone know that me as American of African descent, I'm going to hold on to my moral convictions and love everybody too. Anyone who can't do that, they've got a problem. you gotta deal with that on your own. But don't we deeply support Magic Johnson and all that I do and everything he do. If you don't really if you can't really to see that, that's this Christian nation of ours, y'all. People got to, you know, really dig down and look within themselves, I suppose, to see whether or not they really are this Christian person that they say that they are. Or just about a conversation of the day with the all these evangelicals and the moral right and this and that, and just listen to, at them, you know. I don't know how much they really believe in their Christianity. So now we're going to hold on, y'all. Out here on the Hushmore Black Forum, we're going to hold on to our moral convictions, y'all. We're not going to change it. I, you know, period. You know, We're not going to change it, and we're going to hold on to our moral convictions out here, and we're going to love everybody. Ain't no doubt. Hey, y'all, we're going to leave that alone, but we're going to be coming back. We're going to be coming back with it because that's the conversation of the day, same-sex, this and gay race and that. So, we've got a theory here on what happened there on this idea of marriage. When the country was formed, the country failed to define exactly what a marriage was on a national level. They left all that up to the state. So right now we have all that is pushed back to the states. Imagine that. We got 51 different states, and chances are we could have 51 different rulings on exactly what a marriage is. Is it between two same-sex persons, or is it between two people who have to naturally be able to procreate? The national government should have defined that when they put that constitution together, y'all. They did. Hey, y'all, we're going to talk back about it next week. We got to go, y'all. Running right up against it, y'all. This has been my fun. We'll see y'all next week, y'all. Ciao.
The Hushmo Black Forum, advocated on your behalf by covering news and events affecting the African-American community. Check us out at the Hushmo Black Forum, www.blogtalkradio.com.